Shop the Sherwin-Williams Winter Sale and get 30% off paints and stains January 9th through the 19th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Hey, y'all. Hey, are you drinking your water? Are you minding your business? I love to see it. I'm your host, Angel Glassell. Welcome to Hydrated and Healed, a podcast that combines a full glass of real-life girl talk with a nourishing splash of healing. There's so much chaos happening in the world and possibly in your personal life. My goal is to help you navigate the chaos by staying hydrated and healed. Today, we are discussing addressing conflicts. My guest is a special treat. He is talented, creative, hilarious, and out here giving what it is supposed to give. Welcome, my friend, Marquise Hicks. Hey.
Yo, what's up?
What's up? Are you drinking your water?
I am drinking my blessed water.
Are you minding your business?
In 2002, that's all I got to do is mind my business.
That's all you got to do. And we love to see it.
Yes.
Please introduce yourself to the people.
Well, I'm Marquise Hicks, Marquise Jermont Hicks, as you like to call me.
Jermont.
But yeah. I am a all-around creative. I love to create music. I have my own group, Marquise and the Mo Band. I do some musical things in the community. With my singers and with band, with my band producers and everything around in the area. I have my own music out, Marquise and the Mo Band. You can check us out on all social media platforms and everything. And so that's always good to have a musical artist up. So I guess.
Hey.
Hey. Yeah. I also work in my local church. Calvary Revival Church, and I'm the worship creative director there. And so, yeah.
Shout out to Calvary Revival Church.
Yeah, that's home. We homegrown.
That's right. That's right. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm excited to chop it up with you. Before we get started, I have a game of this or that. I will say two topics in which you will select the option that relates to you the most. You ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
iPhone or Android?
iPhone, of course.
All day. City or beach?
I'll do a city.
Relaxing or exploring?
Exploring.
Netflix or Hulu?
I'm going to say Hulu now. And I'll explain later, but I would say Hulu. Yeah.
Is Hulu and chill a thing? I know Netflix and chill is, but Hulu and chill?
It might just be Hulu and do. Like
Hulu and do. Okay. Yeah. I am weak. Rooftop views or street views?
Rooftop views. Rooftop
all day.
Views. Yeah.
Summer or winter?
I have become a summer person. Okay. I used to be winter, but now I'm just all summer.
All right. Early bird or night owl?
I am a night owl all day.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I know my friend.
Mm-hmm.
Have a new romance or meet a new friend?
Meeting a new friend, because the romance part is stressful. So
it's ghetto.
Yeah, it's ghetto.
Quite ghetto. Faith or hope?
Faith.
Mm-hmm. In terms of dealing with conflict, pick your battles or nip it in the bud.
Nip them jokers in the bud.
Nip, nip. Yeah. Nip, nip. All day, every day.
Yeah, most definitely.
Thank you for participating in this or that. Let's get into it. In my hydrated and healed state, I've discovered and acknowledged that conflict is inevitable. At some point in time in one's life, conflict will arise. And moving forward in 2022, I thought it would be great to really break down this idea of conflict and just drop some gems on how one could navigate conflicts. So first, let's begin with addressing what is conflict?
I would say that conflict is when in any type of encounter, one leaves, one or both party leaves, or all parties, maybe one, two, or three. A party may leave feeling negative or degenerate, you know what I'm saying? Just any type of low or uncomfortable feeling because of the encounter that they had, you know? It can be in any position, but if somebody goes away not feeling that they were considered, or they feel a little bit hurt by it, then that can all build up conflict right there.
Yes, I like your answer. And also too, to just kind of throw in here that those feelings could be from actions that were intentional or unintentional.
Yeah.
Because I know for me, I used to always walk around in my younger years thinking that everything that somebody did that upset me was done on purpose. And sometimes it's not. Yeah. That person could have no clue that they are doing something that's bothering you or upsetting you. Mm-hmm. And so the only way that they would know is if you tell them.
If you tell them,
What areas of your life have you experienced conflict?
Okay, so of course, in family life, you know, amongst my immediate family.
That's a big one.
Yeah, with my friends a lot. And then I guess my biggest one, because with family and friends, with family, I would say it's easier to get through conflict. Because you don't have to really hold back, and that could be a problem sometimes because you just don't care sometimes of how you say stuff. And because of the other areas, your family, how you deal with conflict amongst your family suffers because you just feel so comfortable to say something because you haven't said things in other places, be it your relationships outside of your family, or like I said, my biggest one that I've kind of found a lot of issue was in my workplace. So, you know, a lot of that got thrown into my family. But those are the three main areas right there.
I like how you mentioned family, because that's really where it all starts in terms of how we learn how to deal with things in life. If you notice the way that you handle conflict within your family is not good, then it could really lead or just kind of trickle into other areas of your life in terms of like workplace, friendships, romantic relationships.
Right.
So I think it's a good place to start in really just identifying how do I address conflict and go back to those intimate spaces, because that's where it really is just going to build that foundation for you. And it starts with family, or if some people, I guess that maybe if they were adopted, like it's that same scenario. Like you really want to get to like the roots of where did you learn how to navigate conflict, and do you do it well, or are there some areas where you need to improve? Which takes me into my next question. So how did you address conflict, or how did you address conflict in the past? So feel free to share a scenario or just kind of talk about a time where you got into it with somebody and how did you address that?
Biggest thing, how I've always addressed things, I used to have this mindset of and I don't know where I picked this up from, it was just weird, but it was the mindset of, if it's that serious, someone will confront you about it. You know, and even for me, like, you know, so if it's dealing with me that much, then I will confront this person. You know what I'm saying? And I've always had this thing because of the fact that, you know, I'm a man of God, you know, one of my favorite scriptures, blessed are the peacemakers, you know. So, but the thing that I think messes us up is that we feel like keeping peace is just not saying anything about it.
Yes.
You know,
oh, I love that you said that.
Yeah.
And sometimes it could do more damage.
It could do more damage. Yeah. 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 And so, like, not using enough wisdom, I would just say mainly in just the workplace situation, it's been many a times, many a places where I needed to speak up. And honestly, just putting it out there, we have made some changes on the job. And for me, when I do my work for church or when I serve God's people, I'm doing just that. Mm-hmm. I'm not doing what I want to do for clout or for title or for status or moving up. I just want to know what do you need me to do and what's my place, and I will do just that. We made some transitions and stuff like that. And in the moments of those transitions, I would hear certain ideas from the people that were over me, and I had problems with it, but I just never voiced it. You know, mm-hmm. because in my head, the way that I've always been trained is, hey, you know, this isn't my vision, so I'm going to trust those that are above me. I'm going to trust all that, whatever, and I'm going to let things slide. Yeah. And because of the fact that I just kept, you know, letting things slide, and not even so much speaking up, not for myself, but advocating for other people that it was affecting, you know, because of that, things just kind of started to ravel and just, you know, go unsaid, and, you know, to the point where I'm just like this big ticking time bomb. It was one point, Angel, where we are now having a team meeting. There's somebody else there, you know, time has gone on, and they're asking me about like my temperament when it comes to the workplace. Mm-hmm. And I just had to be honest. Look, oh no, I'm always frustrated. I'm just always frustrated. It's like, why?
But confused because they never knew.
They never knew. They never mm-hmm. knew. And I'm just like, after a while, I started coming to the point where it's like, Marquise, you can't work like this because you're becoming too stressed out. And you're not now, the reason why you do your job is no longer the reason why you do your job. You've gotten so far removed from the initial thing, you know? In the initial thing, it took me, the conflict was, I'm not going to go against my leader. You see what I'm saying? Or I'm not going to go against, you know, I'm going to trust that. But, you know, sometimes you have to have that moment where you get understanding from leadership. And so when your stuff doesn't feel good to you, or you don't understand, say something about it, you know?
Yeah.
Speak on it, you know? I loved what one of my brothers, he's also a pastor that I work with, Pastor Eugene Johnson. He was speaking in the scriptures of when he was talking to the disciples, and a multitude of disciples, and Jesus would say crazy stuff all the time. Jesus would say, you know, you drink my blood and eat my flesh and all that good stuff. And people
He was flipping tables.
He was doing a lot of crazy stuff. And people that were actual disciples was just like, you know what? I don't know how I feel about this. And so mm-hmm. the Bible says that the people left, you know, and people moved on. And then, you know, Jesus spoke some stuff about the people that, not bad stuff, but after the people left, he turned and looked at his 12, his crew, and said, hey, do you guys want to leave too? And he said something that was so profound. He was like, the reason why it wasn't a big deal that the others left, that some the outsiders left, was because they didn't know him. But when those who are committed to the vision, when they start having issues and stuff like that, that's when, as a leader, you got to stop and ask, okay, I care about you because you're vital to this. And that was my issue. I didn't realize how vital I was, and it didn't need to be like confirmation from here, this and there. You know, you just need to know that where you are you're vital to those places. And so when it comes time for you to speak up, you speak up about it. And
yeah.
So that was just my big thing. So yeah, that's how I used to always just handle things, just letting things just go by. But then after a while, I just started seeing the spiral and how things just got worse and worse and worse and worse. And now, you know, I had to change.
Yes. I love how you mentioned being vital. And kind of like once you understand your place or your role, whether it's like a friendship, work, then it makes it easier to begin to unpack, okay, how am I going to handle or address when there is something that's going on?
Right.
Because there's a big difference between me telling you as my friend or somebody who is a part of my tribe, hey, you know, did I overreact or, you know, you did this and I maybe took it the wrong way, but this is how I'm feeling. And they actually take the time and walk with you.
Right.
Versus somebody else being like, oh, I don't care. Like I'm going to dip out anyway. So I think, you know, as you get older and you kind of mature, it becomes a little bit easier to see like where people really fall in your life. I was very similar. Like I would just shut down.
Mm-hmm.
And not really say anything. And then after like layers and layers would build up, I've snapped and I've gone off. And people are looking at me like a deer in headlights. Like, girl, what's wrong with you? Or why didn't you just speak up and say something?
They call us passive aggressive.
Yes. And then I like that block button. The Lord knew what he was doing when he made that block button on that cell phone. Or even like social media. So I remember I would just go around and like just hit the block button and like, oh, I'm not talking to you. And then, you know, y'all get older. Like, listen, it's like a reflex. Oh, you made me mad?
Yeah.
And, you know, I've gotten older, experienced different things. Like you said, I've acknowledged, okay, like this is a spiral and I want to change it.
Right.
How do you address conflict now?
Yeah. So now I at least make a space to talk about it. And when I say make a space, I'm not just saying like, because, you know, I want to be the one to be able to say, oh, I'm going to just say what I got to say. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm just not built like only. And the reason why I say I'm not built like that is because I'm the person I have to think about what's being said. And I want to make sure this is emotion speaking, but I'm speaking directly to the situation. Because I could be mad that your shirt is pink, but it ain't got nothing to do with the fact that your shirt is pink. It's just, you know what I'm saying? You know, so I want to be able to stop. So again, I make a space for it. So if it's I don't feel right about this. Can I come back to you and can we talk about this? So I can like figure out, but at least make a space. I think that's a easier way of going about it rather than just up and just saying, oh, well, I'm gonna just say it. No, like if there's a space that you don't feel comfortable about, hey, let me think about this. Let me go home. Let me pray about this, you know, but just creating the space so that next time you guys come together or, you know, people aren't just going to go on thinking that you're okay.
Yes. And communicate that too. I like that. Speak up. So communicate and make space.
Yeah.
I totally agree with that. I feel like when I asked myself this question a while back, there was one scenario that really stood out to me because I noticed that I was going through this unhealthy pattern of just miscommunications with friends and now I'm, you know, just reevaluating like, okay, wait, did I handle that correctly or did I not handle that correctly? So, you know, just in friendships, I remember a time where there was a friend and I made a comment. It was not a nice comment. And looking back on it, I'm like, oh my gosh, Angel, I cannot believe you said that. That was not nice. And when I look back at where that comment stemmed from, it was because there was some tension between my friend and I. And instead of just pulling her to the side and saying, hey, this is how I'm feeling about something, whatever it was that, you know, whatever our issue was, I allowed myself to be in a space with other people where we were all having a conversation. And then I just kind of let my mouth do the talking. And now, of course, you know, like, we hydrated and healed. So I reflect back on that and I'm like, girl, had you just spoke up and pulled your friend to the side, that whole scenario would have been avoided. I also kind of remember too that there's two sides to a story. So I may walk away feeling some kind of way, but the other person, if it's somebody that I care about, and even if it's just like a stranger on the street and they say, hey, you know, you did this and I'm offended by it, just kind of taking it into account that I'm human and I miss the mark sometimes. I mess up. And a lot of those times are unintentional, but, you know, I'm still human and it can happen.
Right.
So I think now I'm more comfortable having the uncomfortable conversations, whether it was a mess up on my end or your end, saying, hey, before this gets to a point of no return, let me express how I'm feeling. And then can you give me some insight or feedback about how you're feeling? But I love what you said. Just speak up and communicate. If it's a situation where you have to just take a step back, don't let too much time, you know, pass before you come back. But just being wise enough to say, you know what, let me take a seat real quick and digest what's going on.
And and sometimes when you say, hey, I don't feel comfortable about it, if the person cares enough about your input, and it goes back to what I said earlier, if you're vital to the situation, because that's another part that I always missed, you know, and I take accountability for that. It's like, if I had said, at least I'm not comfortable, people would have been like, well, what's wrong? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And sometimes, you don't, for me, like, I know I don't feel right, but I don't understand why I don't feel right. So when they stop and they say, hey, well, what's wrong? It makes me at least have to stop and think, okay, Marquise, what is wrong?
Yeah. Digest your feelings.
Yeah. Cause now I'm thinking about this and I'm thinking about this. So what is it? So, you know, then I try to pull things back, you know, and I think when it comes to conflict resolution, those moments, you know, when you get into certain places and you have people to say, I don't feel comfortable about that, make the space to hear them out. You know, I think I said this before about, you know, being able to have a conversation with people and, you know, at times just say, hey, am I allowed to speak without being interrupted so I can just express my feelings?
I love that.
You know what I'm saying? So once people have that space, then they can start getting their stuff out, you know, but when somebody says, hey, I'm not comfortable, and you ask them why, don't listen to respond. Listen to take in, to, you know, to hear what they have to say, so that the people, again, this comes from somebody who just was never, ever, ever good at speaking up. And that goes back to, if I can circle back to
our
first point of everything coming from our, how we resolve conflict stems from our family. Our first encounters with conflict, you know, our home situation.
Yeah.
You know, for me, I did counseling. I started doing counseling in 2015. And then I think I've been doing counseling since then. But I think my most intensive was maybe in 2018-19.
Okay.
And one of our biggest talking points was on the fact that I can never speak up for myself. But it all traced back to Marquise, okay. You're the youngest, you know, I felt like I got blamed for a lot of stuff as a kid. And then, you know, we grew up in a Black household, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like it's healthy to say, it's 100% healthy to say, as Black kids, spankings and whoopings did both.
Come on.
It did what it needed to do and it kept us in line, but at the same time, it was very traumatic and messed
up. Come
on. You know what I'm saying? I feel like those are two intersectable truths.
Yeah.
That I feel like we can say, you know, and that's what it did to me. You know, I love my parents, but we got hit upside the head too much.
We did. And my mom, listen, I grew up single parent up until, I think my mom got married when I was 16 and she was very strict. Like, I mean, if I looked at her the wrong way after she asked me to do something, baby, that was it.
That was it, yeah.
That was it. And of course, it didn't take me until, you know, maturing and getting older, understanding, okay, well, I understand why you reacted the way that you did, and you really did the best that you could.
And I appreciate
the love and keeping me in line. But I had to unpack a lot of that. I had to learn, even in just addressing conflict with my mom. You know, she's very dominant. She has a strong personality. And it's almost like what she says goes. And I remember having a conversation with her. We got into it about something. And my 33.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait a minute. Hold up now. Yes, you are mom and you will always be mom. But do I not have a choice? Do I not get to speak and say my piece or how I'm feeling about something? And we really turned a curve when I just learned that. Okay, you got to speak up, even if it is to your mom, your dad, grandma. That's really the area that God has been like, okay, we about to clean this up.
Because the biggest thing is we, because of the way that we were raised, we did not learn how to handle our own voice. You see what I'm saying? We did not learn how to use it, how to, you know, because it takes time for people to be able to gracefully say things and say things impactfully. But, you know, because of the fact that at a young age, when the time when we should have been developing that craft, we never did.
Because we were so busy going to college and trying to be an adult. Then you in your 20s or your 30s and you're like, okay, I'm noticing some patterns. Hold up, let me circle back. Where this is coming from and how to develop it. I will say that, you know, for anybody who's listening, once you do develop how to use your voice to communicate effectively, you will just see, because it's almost like you're telling people, hey, this is where the space that I'm in now, and I need you to get in alignment
with
that. Not necessarily bow down to everything that I say, you know, do more that, okay, and handling me and my heart and my mind, this is what I need. My mom is a yeller. All the women in my family are yellers. They just like to yell. And I'm not, like, I don't like yelling. And I realized that when I was in heated situations and I started yelling, I would just become emotional and I would start crying. And I just couldn't get the words out. I read a meme and it was like, if we in an argument and I'm crying, don't think it's because I'm weak. It's because I want to kill you. And I just remember thinking, like, when I read that, I don't want to be like that anymore. I want to be calm. Like, when I pray, it's like, Lord, I just want to be calm, but I also want to be direct.
You know,
this is not going to work for me. So if you want to have a conversation, I want to have the conversation, but there's a way to do it.
And all
the yelling, it's a no for me. It's not going to work for me.
And then
when people don't get in alignment, I mean, I ain't necessarily blocking people, but I'm blocking people.
Look. I don't block
never hurt nobody.
I may not block you, but I'ma just watch your phone, your face and everything come up on the screen and just walk right on past you.
And then look, take a sip of water, like
See, now I'm gonna tell you what's worse than blocking, you know, because you know we're iPhone people, amen. So, if one of my close friends, I'm just like, yo, you know, you could take your, he just had an iPhone. And I said, well, you know, you could take the red receipts off of your phone.
And he says, amen.
Oh no, I want people to know that I read it. And I, I want them to know that I read it and I ignored them. I want
you to know.
I'm like, see, I'm not at that point. So I'm going to just keep my red receipts off and I just respond or I don't respond. And that's it. So
if I'm on the phone and the conversation is going in a direction that I'm not with, let me call you back. I got somebody calling me. I got a call coming through. I got to take this real quick. Right. And I will not call you back.
Yeah.
And when they follow up, why didn't you call me back? Let's circle back to the last time we had that conversation and it was going. And I've clearly expressed to you that this is not how I like to communicate things.
Right.
So, hey, I mean, you definitely have to set up those boundaries and healthy boundaries. And just, you know, I guess my last question is, how can you improve how you address conflicts in the future? And I'll just say, just set clear, healthy boundaries and be open to having the conversation, because we are human and there are times when we miss the mark, and just making sure you are in a space to have those uncomfortable conversations.
That
confidence too, that confidence to know your value. Like, hey, you know, I know what I bring to the table in this relationship, this friendship, this workplace. And I'm comfortable expressing to you how I'm feeling about a situation.
Yeah.
So I definitely want to, I would say for me, that's how I can want to improve how I continue to handle conflicts, because they're going to come.
They're going to come. Yeah.
It's going to come. You know, I'm praying that the Lord's going to send me somebody's son. I already know that, you know, when that does come about, that there will be times where I'm gonna be looking at him like, okay, and I can't block him if it's my husband, you know. Just being in a space and continuing to evolve as Angel and having those uncomfortable conversations.
I would say, just, you know, like you said, having more confidence in myself. I think that's the biggest thing, you know. Having more confidence and continue to develop in my confidence for me. Like, one thing about, even about this podcast, Angel, you asked me to do this, you know, and I think it's amazing, because I feel like if people are too much of an expert in conflict resolution, then you are BSing. Because you're a manipulator, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You try to use certain things, whatever. So I don't want to be on that out, but I think it keeps you a little bit human. But I think the part that you can always work on when it comes to building or doing better when it comes to conflict resolution is a confidence piece and being more astute in yourself and knowing the value of yourself to know, like you said, hey, this is stuff that I'm just not going to go for. And the reason why I'm not going to go for it is because this is the way that I even treat myself. I'm doing what I need to do. I'm, you know, getting prepared for the thing, you know, I'm, you know, showing my passion for myself and for the things that I love. And if the thing that I love is my job, or the thing that I love is my relationship, I'm doing what I can do for me to make me the best for this, you know what I'm saying? And as long as I'm doing this, when it comes to conflict, you know, you're very certain on what you need to go for and what you're not going to go for, you know?
Yes.
And it doesn't depend on how anybody else acts or anybody, the decisions that anybody else makes, because you have all that you need inside of yourself, you know? A lot of times, you know, even when it comes to relationships and stuff like that, you know, we're demanding so much from other people. You know, and sometimes when we're in those positions and in those conflicts and we're demanding this a lot and it's too high of an expectation, it's a lot of times it's because it's stuff that we need. You know what I'm saying? And we need to at least do it for ourselves, so we don't need too much of a demand on other people. So, that's where I want to come from when it comes to doing better and being and dealing with conflicts and stuff like that. So
that answer was giving very much hydrated and healed.
Oh yeah.
Okay. That's what I'm talking about. As I take a sip of water. So I came across this quote in a book. It's called 13 Things Mentally Strong People Don't Do. And it's by Amy Morin. I hope I am pronouncing her name correctly. So I'm going to read it and then I'm going to get your feedback.
Yeah. Okay.
It says, each time you avoid saying no to something you really don't want, you give away your power. If you don't make any attempt to get your needs met, you'll give people permission to take things away from you. A lack of emotional boundaries can be equally problematic. If you don't like the way someone treats you, yet you don't stand up for yourself, you give that person power over your life. As I take a sip.
Yeah. That was so good.
Yes. You have any feedback about that?
Yeah. I think that whole, like, not being able to say no, it gives people the power over your life. Like, that is just so, it's so strong. You don't ever, because I think that the reason why it resonates so much with me is because that's my, like, you know, 2022 mantra, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, this year I'm going to be able to take control back over my life, you know, when it comes to everything that I do, you know, I want to be able to take control. But a lot of the reason why I've gotten into the positions that I've gotten into was because, you know, I was scared to say no. And
yeah,
I was very fearful of being honest about how I feel, you know, and, you know, I want to be able to come against those fearful moments so that people can know, like, oh yeah, Marquise really is about his stuff, you know?
Yeah.
You know, not putting myself above everybody else, but it's just kind of like I said before, this is just what I'm not going to do. Not being fearful to say no, you know, it, to that other person, it lets them know, oh, I just can't just do whatever I need to do with people. It teaches people how to treat you.
Come on now. Yeah, so. Come on. And I have said that in plenty of conversations that I've had with my mom. Like, mm-hmm. we have to teach people how to treat us. And mm-hmm. if not, they'll just run rampant and do whatever they want, when they want. And yeah. I love that you said, it's really about how you feel about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I do daily affirmations every day in the mirror. I'm like, girl, you fine in these streets. You're talented. Mm-hmm. You're gifted. There's so much in store for you. It's a perfect day to walk in God's grace for you. And we're going to be mm-hmm. open with our mind and our hearts for all the opportunities. And when you start to do that, it really does give you this level of confidence.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, like, when somebody comes in and they're not leveling up mm-hmm. to you or matching your energy, it's like, hold up.
Right.
Wait a minute. Right, because right. I have worked so hard to get to this space that I'm going to check you.
Right.
If you're coming against that. And I love the word that Amy uses, power. It's like you're releasing your power. And I feel like 2022, y'all, we just got to take our power back. And it doesn't mean that we're gonna have a fist fight and mm-mm. it's gonna be this big ordeal. We're not doing that. We too cute to fight. Yeah. We ain't doing that.
Yeah.
But what we are gonna do is, with our cute self, handsome selves, mm-hmm. with our water, we're gonna sit back and tell you, this is not aligning with me.
Right.
As a person, right. and what right. I'm doing, what I got going on.
Right.
So
right.
I think we just, in 2022, I really want people to just be intentional about the plan that they have for themselves. Mm-hmm. And once they establish that, then you need to align how you feel mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally with that. Because mm-hmm. anything that comes against those two, when they align, is essentially conflict.
Right, right.
And then
right.
learning how to just be like, no, this is not, you know, lining up, and I need to speak up and handle it or address it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh my goodness, friend, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. You dropped all the gems. I'm here for it. Will you come back?
Yes. Please call me back. Call me back for the next.
As I will. Yeah. Would you like to drop your IG handle so the people can find your music and find you?
Yeah. So you can just find me on Instagram. I guess everybody's on Instagram. I'm actually on TikTok now too, y'all.
Come on, TikTok.
So you have to teach me how to do the dances and stuff like that. Look, I'm aging you. Myself because I am what's called the oldest set of millennials. So, but you know, I got a whole TikTok. I got a few little followers. You know what I'm saying? Get a few hundred views and stuff like that. So I feel like I'm somebody right quick.
You all right? I'm about to look this up on the TikTok.
Yeah. Okay. So, but it's M. Jermont Hicks. So, M as in my first name, Jermont. That's Jermont. I'm sorry, the state Vermont, but just with the J instead of a V, Hicks. So, M. Jermont Hicks. That's my Instagram handle right there. Please don't follow me on Twitter because I'm crazy on Twitter. I'm crazy. I'm reserved, but I want to be a little bit more liberal on my Twitter page because
as you should.
That's just me. But Marquis Six, Marquis Six on Facebook and stuff like that. But on my IG, you can find my link tree, and that's where all my music and stuff like that is too, and like my booking information for me and my band also.
Yes, I am so proud of you, friend. I don't think I asked you this earlier, but I am very big on opportunities. Are you single?
I am low key. 100% single. I needed to shout it out over the rooftop that I am single and I am looking for my wife. Amen.
I love it. No sneaky links, none of that. No cupping buddies, no entanglement.
No entanglements. No okay. Entanglements.
Okay.
Yeah, we're gonna have all to right. Talk about that sneaky link on tonight. No.
Oh, okay then. Mm-hmm.
I don't have any sneaky links. I have no sneaky links. All right, doing none of that crazy stuff. That's just me, myself, and the Lord.
All right, now you can find me on social media at Hydrated and Healed. Or Angel Glassell. If you're tuning in by way of Apple Podcasts or Spotify, don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. And that's all who? Hydrated and Healed. Bye, guys.